From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Did you pick up a pandemic hobby? Mine is coffee. Every morning, I make myself some sort of espresso drink, a latte, Americano, or cortado. I grind the beans, pull the shot, froth the milk if needed, attempt some kind of latte art, and then sit on my couch and sip. It truly brings me joy every morning. Others have found that joy in skateboarding, particularly a lot of women and girls. It's an activity you can do alone, an inexpensive way to travel, and from the looks of it, it's pretty damn fun. But getting started can be intimidating. That's where the Lonely Bones Skate Club comes in. It's a group dedicated to women and gender non-conforming folks who want a safe and welcoming place to skate. WBUR's Lauren Williams hit the skate park with Lonely Bones, and she's here with us today to talk about it. Lauren, thank you for coming through. How's it going?
Thanks for having me. It's going well. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. So tell us about the Lonely Bones.
So the Lonely Bones are a skateboarding collective based in Boston. The group was founded in the summer of 2020 by Raven Tate and Claire Lee. And the collective has really grown since then. The summer of 2020 was the perfect time to start something like this. Skateboarding exploded over the pandemic. Sales of skateboarding equipment in the U.S. increased by 118%. It's a group for women, gender non-conforming skaters, trans people, skateboarders of color, disabled people. It's for anyone who is on the margins of skate culture. They host events like new skateboarder clinics, clothing swaps, live music. It's really cool.
Now, you met with them for a group ride. Set the scene for us. What was that like?
Yeah, it was special. I really started to understand the gap that the group was filling when I went. People were all sprawled out in the grass at JFK Memorial Park. A DJ was spinning hyperpop. There were skateboarders and rollerbladers everywhere. And it was a super hot day, but as soon as you walked up to the group, people were smiling and laughing. It felt really inclusive and genuinely very friendly, and I think that's what surprised me the most because it was palpable. There was a point when I was just kind of sitting off on the side taking it in, and every person that walked by would say hi and, you know, wave. You could tell people felt really comfortable there.
And where did they ride to?
For this, they rode up Memorial Drive and back. So they came back to the park, had snacks, the DJ was still going, it kind of turned into a party afterwards.
Oh, man. I like that. Now, tell us about the founders.
Yeah. So Claire Lee is one of the founders. She's a recent Northeastern graduate. She's 23 and from New Jersey. And growing up, she had always surfed and snowboarded and felt like skating was the next step. But she was really intimidated. And she's a child of immigrants. And she said it kind of felt like an untouchable sport. It was so American. It was so cool. But then she met her boyfriend, who's a skateboarder, and it was exciting for her because he was a bridge for her between this culture that felt unattainable and herself. So she started skating with him and fell in love with it. The other founder is Raven Tate, and she's from Houston, Texas. She's also a Northeastern graduate, and she was really drawn to the culture of skating. She said she grew up going to private schools and wearing uniforms, so skate fashion and the culture was interesting to her. So during the pandemic, she decided, why don't I actually learn how to do this sport? I really like the things surrounding it. But similarly to Claire, she didn't really know where to start, what kind of board to get, how to learn.
I had always wanted to learn how to skate, but was super intimidated by it. Didn't really know like where to go, what questions to ask, who to ask.
And yeah, outside of this, they're also really impressive. They're both engineers.
So how did they start the club?
Yeah, it all started over the summer in 2020 when Claire posted a few videos of her doing skate tricks on Instagram. Raven, the other founder, saw, slid up in her DMs and was like, hey, could you teach me how to do this? And after that, they just started talking and thought, maybe we should invite other people. We could make this a little club. Maybe we could make more friends. It was a good way to get outside during those early days of the pandemic. And yeah, to their surprise, they posted about it. And
I think like 60 people or something came to the first one. We were very shocked. We were like, oh my gosh.
And they were like almost all strangers to each other, but it was like immediately kind of comfortable and like warm.
And literally ever since then, we're like, okay, so people actually like this. People want to come out. There's a need for it.
Damn, 60 people. That's like an immediate impact. There was a need being met there.
Definitely.
So I'm curious when I'm hearing about this, I'm wondering, is skate culture hostile to women and non-binary people?
I don't know if hostile is the right word, but I would say it's more so exclusionary. Like when you have a big group of the same kind of people who are in conversation with each other through an activity, through a fashion style, and through a gender expression, if someone new shows up in the group, naturally they might be left out. That was the most common thing that I heard. It was intimidating when you started, and then when you finally got to the skate park, there are people there who don't look like you and aren't really talking to you. And yeah, I think it can be hard because skateboarding is a solo sport, but community is a big part of that. But I think the culture's changing a bit.
You know, one of the things skateboarding seems to be really, I guess the culture seems to be really good at is that it's very inclusive of different races and cultures. You know, I see skateboarders of all kinds of colors, but at the same time, it's very male dominated. So I guess I could see where a young woman or a non-binary person might feel a little uncomfortable at the skate park by themselves, you know? Tell us about some of the members you talked to.
Yeah, I met some really interesting people. One person who was an early member, her name is Alana. She started skating for the first time with the Lonely Bones. She knew Lee and Tate through school. She's from New York, and she says that being a part of the group has given her a home. It's a group that centers creativity through not only just skateboarding, but fashion and art as well. And she says the group has helped her kind of find her place in Boston.
These are the good people in Boston. Not that there's anyone bad, but like here, like is a general pulse that you kind of just can feel as soon as you get here. So happy to find the niche in Boston.
I met a really cool girl in passing who told me that this was her first time coming and she's normally very anxious to go to events. But for this one, she was on the bus, like buzzing with excitement and was really happy to check out the rollout that day. Claire told me that people make real friends at the Lonely Bones events. And it was cool because I saw that happen in real time. There were two friends, so they looked like old friends, sitting next to each other on the curb, laughing and chatting. And I went up to them and they told me they had just met 5 minutes ago. Here's Nicole Zhao, one of the two.
I was just actually sitting across from Matt, and I was like, hey, let's be friends because you're the other person I see in my vicinity that's alone and with a skateboard.
So it's a really special environment where people from all different places and all different walks of life come together.
I love that. I love that. What are their aspirations, the group? What would they like to do for the future?
Yeah, well, the founders say they really want the group to outlive them. They want to keep it a community. Raven mentioned that she wanted to start a scholarship fund for higher education through Lonely Bones. Yeah, I think their main future goal is outreach with kids. Claire said that having a non-traditional skateboarder to look up to would have maybe changed the course of her life. She said she might have started earlier.
I feel like I witnessed a lot of people who didn't look like me skating in media, which is like subconsciously really discouraging.
Lauren, thank you for breaking this down, but I have one more question for you. You know, what exactly made you want to do this story? Do you skate?
I don't skate. Someone sent me the Instagram. I found it really compelling. You know, I'm a Black woman. I'm only a year older than the two founders. So I've definitely experienced, one, feeling out of place somewhere, and two, that kind of post-grad confusion of trying to figure out who you are outside of being a student. I think skateboard culture is really interesting, and there have been a lot of stories recently about mental health and skating and inclusion in skating, so I thought it could be cool to talk to people who are actually tackling these issues.
So let me ask you this. Did you pick up a pandemic hobby? If so, what is it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait, let me think about this for a minute, because I honestly feel like I was one of those lame people who was just sad and sitting. I didn't really do much.
We were all sad and sitting. That's why we picked up hobbies.
I was just staring at the wall. No, I feel like I got really into music during the pandemic.
Okay.
Going to record stores, finding like deep cuts, and especially listening to music from different countries. I had never really done that before. So yeah, getting into old music, I got a record player and that's become like a bit of a hobby.
Same. Exact same. What's your favorite record right now?
Ooh, right now I have... Okay, well, the one thing I'm listening to on repeat is King Krule's live album.
Oh, wow.
I'm obsessed. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
He's my favorite. So the live album came out, I think, in the fall, but I just started listening to it. It's like an earworm. How about for you?
Nice. You know what? Cleo Soul, Mother, is getting ran on my record player. So, yeah. I see that. I'm trying. You know how you just try not to listen to something too much? Like, I don't want to get tired of it. I want to give the rest of the collection sometimes. But that album is so, so good. I put it on. It's just perfect.
Perfect for any vibe.
This could be a whole other episode. So I don't know. We may have to have you back or something like that.
Yes. Any time to talk about music. That's like my greatest passion. So anytime.
Yeah, noted. Thank you so much, Lauren. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
That's WBUR's Lauren Williams. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Franny Monahan with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Do you want to feel more connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine, where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and our region 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.